You're listening to Colourful.
So MPs will gather at the House of Commons tomorrow. They've been recalled. Some of them will have been outside the country. They'll have been sunning themselves, relaxing. Meanwhile, Britain has been burning. We're talking about the major cities. London, quiet last night, but what was going on in Birmingham, in Manchester and Liverpool? The Manchester experience seems to have been particularly ferocious. That's my home city. When I was just sitting there at home in Brixton, where I live now, just watching the TV, looking at the shops, looking at the Arndale Centre, things that I grew up watching, knowing, shopping in from the age of 5, 6, 7, 8, I just couldn't believe it. Shocking stuff. But what about London's response? The key thing everyone's been saying is, why is it that the police seem so ill-equipped to deal with the situation from Saturday night onwards? Had they been given orders from above to go softly, softly? Were they muzzled? Were they confused? Were they directionless? Were they leaderless? Let's talk to a very senior Metropolitan Assistant Commissioner. His name is Steve Kavanagh. He's on the line. Assistant Commissioner, good morning.
Thanks very much for that big build-up.
Well, you can understand why people are shocked by this, because we export excellent policing techniques, so I'm told, all over the world. So when people see this happening on the streets of our capital city, they can't believe it.
Oh, absolutely. And don't get me wrong, this is a somber week for London. Londoners' lives have been torn apart, their livelihoods just crushed. And that's a miserable week for all of us.
I'm just wondering then, how much soul-searching will be going on in the Met, particularly among the top brass, who are supposed to understand tactics, strategies. These kind of things are planned for all the time. We've got the greatest show on earth in less than a year's time, and yet a few hundred people in a number of boroughs seem to have brought this city to a standstill.
They're all important questions. This isn't about the leadership of the Met. On the night, we tried to support the local community to express their frustration, lack of information from the IPCC and the police around the murder of Mr. Duggan. We police that in the way that you and your listeners want us to, with sensitivity and support.
Assistant Commissioner.
A few hotheads at the end of that decided to set fire to a few police cars.
Assistant Commissioner, I need to stop you. I don't know if you misspoke or if it was a Freudian slip. You actually said the murder of Mr. Duggan. He was shot by a police officer. He was shot by a police officer. Was it murder?
Of course it wasn't. I've had about 5 hours sleep in 3 days. I apologise.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Well, I'm talking about how much I feel for the whole community. And we had 700 officers ready and available when that escalated on the Saturday night. Then on Sunday, we put out 3,000. That's the equivalent of two small police forces. But what we saw was a huge escalation. And then last night, we put out 16,000. The officers out there are not just the riot officers that make the difference. It's the local policing teams. And what we've seen in the last two nights, the police don't do it on their own. We've seen community representatives, we've seen youth workers, we've seen families going forward and talking to some of the youngsters who are thinking about doing something stupid. They are making the difference as well. It's not just about policing. This is about all of us taking some responsibility.
The problem with, which I imagine where a lot of your criticism comes from, is for the fact that we've got rolling news, and whether we like it or not, I guess it's here to stay now. I was one of those people that was kind of glued to all the action, and I was so shocked to see police present at a lot of the places where looting and fire burning and all the rest of it was going on, smashing up police cars. There was one shot that a lot of people remember where there was a group of police cars, a group of police vans, people jumping up and down on these vehicles, smashing the windscreens. And when the camera pulled back, it was like, oh my gosh, there are police there, but didn't seem to be going forward. Now, I've said on this show the last couple of days, I don't believe that the police are universally incompetent. So I am wondering whether there was an order that was given from above that they weren't to go in for whatever reason. And we can talk about the reason, obviously, in the coming weeks and months. But surely there was an order that said don't go on the offensive. Otherwise, more police would have done that.
What the police were told to do, and what you and I should be proud of, is that we show a discipline in the UK that no other country has shown. You watch police officers beating, you see police officers throwing stones, you see officers losing discipline. What we saw was officers lining up protecting fire crews that had been attacked. We saw officers trying to protect communities whose buildings were burning, and they showed discipline, not about their ego or anger. And that's what we need to see. It's very easy to get a clip and condemn either the police or their leadership. That's not what it's about. It's about actually showing the full picture. And London, the communities and the police, we got stretched in a way we have never ever seen before.
A gentleman called Peter Power has been touring the studios. He's a former senior Met officer, and he says a number of things have muzzled the leadership of the Met, and they're now fighting all of this with one hand behind their back. Not just this conflagration, but ordinary everyday crime. He talked about the Lawrence inquiry. He talked about Tomlinson and de Menezes. Is there any truth in that whatsoever? Be honest.
I'll tell you what I'll be honest about is I was part of the Stephen Lawrence response. What your listeners need and deserve is that the police grow and learn from when errors are made. Stephen Lawrence was a tragedy. John Charles de Menezes was a tragedy. Mr. Tomlinson's death was a tragedy. If the police don't learn from that, then we are a bunch of fools. We will learn and we are learning. That does not mean that we're weak. It means that we go out there, we arrest. If we have to, we use gencals and we will drive at looters. But it also means you've got a police service that wants to engage with communities. I sat with them yesterday afternoon for nearly 2 hours. We got some key messages out. We empowered youth workers to go and talk to people. We got the community to work with us, because you don't want us to stand outside and talk about cracking heads. That will divide the community from the police.
We've got an email here from Justin, who's a community activist, and he says, look, you refuse to rule out plastic bullets. The use of plastic-coated bullets are well documented, as they've been deployed in the north of Ireland in the 70s and in the Gaza Strip today. They've been proven to be lethal at close range and at a distance, capable of causing deformities, disabilities and severe scarring. Are they really necessary against largely young looters?
And you know, it's interesting. We're damned if we do and we're damned if we don't. I have said that I want to use the full range, and nobody has used those rounds. But again, your listeners who will have had their businesses, their employers' businesses, their families' businesses ruined, they also want to know that they haven't got a fearful police force. When things go to a certain extent, policing will use those tactics if they have to. But what we want to do is stop it in the first place. And last night was the beginning of something. It was the beginning of London's communities getting hold of some of the people who had gone astray and done some incredibly evil and stupid things. But we've got to move forward, because one day, whether they go to prison, they get caught, they get convicted, we've got to rebuild some of those shattered communities.
Just want to touch on the death of Mark Duggan for a moment. The IPCC came out yesterday and said that they did not find any evidence that he had fired his weapon before being killed. And I just want to ask you a question about the IPCC. We speak to a lot of people on this programme who have no faith in the IPCC whatsoever, mainly because they never appear to bring any police to justice. And I'm thinking to myself, if I was in your position, you must yourself want there to be a robust organisation that investigates the police. Otherwise, it fares badly on you, because people feel that police can get away with what they like. What's your feeling on the IPCC?
Well, the important thing is that we can see the independents. They have their own investigators. Some of them have never had anything to do with the police. They have not allowed us to comment on the investigation at any time. And what we need to do is two things. A, no other country has that. But the trouble is, the IPCC represents the establishment. And rightly, people will always say, what is the separation between the police and the IPCC? I don't know their Commissioner Fontaine, who's investigating all this. I've never met her. And that's what the community needs. But I do understand that they will also be cynical and say, well, hang on, where is the separation? It is utter. And actually, it's important to have. And what we also need to reflect on, any loss of life is tragic. But we need to also see the restraint overwhelmingly shown across the UK and London compared to any other international country.
There's been massive restraint. I think Assistant Commissioner, most people think there's been too much restraint at times, when shopkeepers who've been building up a business, they've come from Sri Lanka 16 years ago, and it goes up in smoke, and the police are standing by just yards away. Or the Nigerian pharmacist running Boots in Hackney, and he's begging the police to do something about it. And these are guys who are tooled up, you know, with all the riot shields and everything, and they do nothing. And these places absolutely looted. They're upset, but also upset are the people who were told initially, and we don't know why this information came out, that Mark Duggan had died in a firefight with the police, that Mark Duggan had fired first. We now know that he didn't use any weapon. We don't know if that weapon, even that was found in a sock, was his. You misspoke a moment or two ago when you talked of the murder of Mr. Duggan. But at the same time, there are people out there who have heard, and this is something that was repeated on Channel 4 News last night, Mr. Duggan was hit in the bicep and in the chest. When the first shot hit him, he laughed at the officer. He was then shot in the chest. That sounds like murder.
Henry, look, you just put a few questions to me. The first thing is, I talked about the restraint of firearms officers. Every one of those shopkeepers that you talked about is a tragedy. And I feel, and I've gone and talked to some of them, it is absolutely awful. That's why we're trying to be robust. But actually, what we did yesterday with the community leaders, and we've got to be careful, and you've got to help me with this, Henry, yep. because we sat down with the community leaders and we got a common understanding of all of the information. The information the IPCC gave out about that the bullet in the radio was not fired from another gun.
It definitely came from them, not from you.
Sorry, say again?
It definitely came from them that the bullet... So the initial information, IPCC it sounded as though an officer had been shot by Mark Duggan.
I tell you one thing for sure, Henry, that information never came from the police
right.
because we have never commented on the investigation. We've had real trouble and we've shown real discipline in not commenting on the investigation because you want us to be professional and keep away from interfering with that type of thing.
Yeah.
And what we need to do also, there was some information that came out that Mr. Duggan had been held on the ground and executed. Look at the IPCC press release, Henry. We've got to talk to the community and help them understand. The investigation's progressing. The family and others went to see the body. There was no evidence of that. Mm-hmm. And then we have this next set of rumours about laughing and being shot twice. Let's let the IPCC keep you updated properly. Let's keep the Duggan family properly updated. Let's make sure communities feel that they've got all the information. I'm meeting with community representatives from all ages again this afternoon, and we'll get that second level of information out, because that's what people need. That's when they get frustrated. That's when stupid things can happen. And genuinely, we can't afford to have that. We've got to keep a calm atmosphere going on. We've got to do what we did yesterday and do it together.
Where do we go from here, Assistant Commissioner? Surely the government now can't go ahead with the cuts they were planning for the police force. And we were told cutting the force by how many thousands was it, Henry?
We're talking about nearly 2,000.
2,000 people.
2015.
This surely can't go ahead now.
Well, the first thing I'm going to do over the next 24 hours is get the similar numbers out, and they're going to work with the community representatives in the way they did yesterday, in a brilliant, brilliant way. And I'm going to let the politicians and the commissioner get on with what they have to do. Your listeners don't want me to politicise the sadness that we're all feeling at the moment.
Assistant Met Commissioner Steve Kavanagh, thank you very much indeed for spending some time with us this morning.
And Thanks. Henry, can I just apologise for that awful slip of my words?
Yeah.
It really was a matter of tiredness. Can I just say to your listeners, thanks for the help they have given us.
Okay, thank you very much
thanks.
To Steve Kavanagh.
Colourful Breakfast with Bonsu and Juju.